Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Today, we are here with the second episode of our Story EO mini-series that we're doing. And we have the one and only Shimron here, who is actually one of the, I would say, original thinkers. Shimron, is that an accurate statement?
You're trying to make me blush. I think that's the accurate way to say it.
She was in the team along with Andre, who in the previous episode, all of you met. If you've not seen that one, please pause this one. Jump back to episode one where we introduce the Story EO concept and why it's important. And in this episode, we're going to hear from Shimron, who is the head of our SEO department, why, as an agency, we chose this direction. I, for some of you who don't know, worked in the SEO department. I had founded it in Pain-Free many, many years ago. And what SEO was for me and what I was focusing on 5 years ago has definitely changed. And this is through advancements with AI and how search works and the algorithm getting smarter, how patients are actually getting smarter in looking at content you put on websites. So I know a lot has changed, Shim. And I want to understand today from your side, what has changed? Why did it change? How did we get to Story EO being so important? And then hopefully we can build on that to give our listeners and especially the dentists a great understanding of why this is the next evolution of search engine optimization.
Well, I think one of the important things to remember or think about as we go through this change is that we're currently in the change. I like to think of ourselves as Storio pioneers in the sense that this is something that we're starting and testing the waters of, but we are in a sense figuring it out as we go, and we are putting trust in the data that we're seeing and how users are interacting with the changes that we're making. So if we want to recap on what Andrea said for anybody who hasn't had a chance to listen to our previous episode, I think that the approach of Storio is essentially looking at SEO from a user's perspective more than just Google's perspective. For those of you who don't know, traditional SEO takes a very data-forward approach. We look at the numbers, we're pushing content out in a way that helps push rankings, and that has always been the primary focus when doing SEO. What we've noticed, however, in the last couple of years, and I myself have been in SEO for a few years now, is that rankings don't always equal, in our case, working with dentists, new patients. It doesn't mean that it is a foot through the door for your practice. And that is essentially not helpful for the practices that we are helping. So we wanted to take a new approach to SEO that could mean that one does equal the other.
So what you're saying is even if you're number one on Google or you're in that map pack, it's not time for dentists to celebrate just yet, because it's not all about the rankings. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. Okay. You could be ranking for number one and you may have people clicking through to your website, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're making the call. Now, there are some cases where one does equal the other, and I think the primary reason for that is because of how they have exhibited themselves on their websites. Because you need to remember that once you have ranked for that number one position and somebody has clicked through to your website, there's still an entire journey that they go through and an entire experience that they have with your website before they make the decision to contact your practice or give your office a call. So our focus has instead shifted from rather making content that purely gives you that number one ranking to rather making content that A, supports rankings, because it is important to get in front of people, but also have content that will engage with potential users and your potential patients more effectively so that we can get that call.
What we spoke about in the previous episode was content for the sake of content is not valuable anymore. There are so many, the dental industry continues to grow in the US with tools like ChatGPT and Gemini and these things. I can write you literally a Harry Potter book of content within 2 minutes, probably less. Depends how fast your internet is. But I mean, it can take 2 minutes to write a Harry Potter style book of content on your website. That does not mean that it's good content. And we covered that what you say and the type of patient you're talking to. Who is your niche? Who is this practice even trying to be? That is more important. What have you seen in terms of taking on a generic keyword in city, and we treat you like family and the best technology and serving the areas of city and city and city? You know what I mean? That away from that shift, which I think most dentists probably still see, depending on the company that they're working with, to where you are.
It's definitely something that we still see, but I think what we were seeing when our content still looked like that, and I'm sure there is still content out there that we're managing and sifting our way through that does still have those factors, if I could put it that way, a location based keyword is how we refer to it, is that even focusing content around those keywords weren't getting the rankings that we'd expected to get. And I think that also comes from a bit of a shift that we've seen in Google, and saying the primary phrase that everyone uses is content is king, and you need to create quality content, and it needs to be authoritative and effective and trustworthy and all these things. But that content in itself, that quality that we're looking for, doesn't equal having lots of content. And I think that as we explored the content avenue, we were realizing that quantity wasn't equal to quantity. And it sort of posed the question of how do we create quality content, which is what you had mentioned, Nana, and what Andre has spoken about previously, in creating content that really speaks to a user's journey when they're entering the website. So for us, I can tell you a little bit more about what that looks like. For us as an agency and as the SEO team, it required a little bit of a shift in our mind, because as you said yourself, Ian, you're coming from a traditional SEO background. We had to change our perspective as well, that itch to put a dentist in location-esque keyword in content is something that we had spent years doing. So it was something that we were very used to, and those were the golden rules that we were sort of taught to follow. But we are looking to break out of the mold. We're not just looking to do what everyone else is doing and has done. We're looking to break out of the mold so that we can stand out amongst competitors on behalf of our clients. So the process that we're trying to follow now is a little bit more unique in writing content that speaks more to the fears and the desires that a potential patient may have. And for us, that really starts with what we dub core pages for websites. The first page that somebody is likely to interact with when they land on a website is the homepage. It's the primary hub for how a user can navigate to every other page on the website, or it should be if it's done correctly. And because it's the primary page that people are landing on, it's really your first opportunity to engage with a potential patient and start that conversation, to speak to what are their fears as a patient or as a user that is looking for dental services. And I think you mentioned earlier how that shifts from one kind of dentistry to another. If somebody is just looking for a general checkup versus looking for cosmetic services to change the way their smile is, that shifts from user to user. And we need to know how to use content to speak to those desires and really grab their attention so that they will follow the way sort of through the funnel and get in touch with the practice.
I want to get more into your process, and I also want to get a bit into certain types of dentistry, which I think our listeners would appreciate. But when we take over a client and it's still rooted in that traditional way, I know we touched now on the dentist in city type of keywords, but beyond that, what are some signs that you very quickly pick up on, knowing what you know about story brand, knowing what you know about story EO and these things, that you can share with dentists to go like, hey, if you read through your homepage again, if you're seeing these things, it's time to think about it?
I think there are a couple of things that come to mind. Obviously, the first one being the dentist and location type of keywords. Usually when, if we're taking on new clients and they have had, an agency working with traditional SEO, you can see that sort of littered across a homepage. And not only is it an indicator for us that that approach or that traditional approach is being taken, but it's also an eyesore. You don't need to be an SEO expert to look at the words on that page and realize that something feels unnatural.
And our minds pick it up. Our minds do pick it up. It's for sure.
It definitely does. A user or potential patient may not know that that is an SEO practice that is being used to try and rank higher on Google, but they are going to look at it and feel that something is off about it. And I think in a world where AI is so prevalent and we're so aware of things that don't seem natural, we're constantly picking up on whether an image is created by AI, and now even AI in content generation, I think our eyes are even more trained to pick up abnormalities in text. So that is sort of the first thing, and it speaks more to how content feels unnatural. When content feels unnatural and it feels generic, that is sort of the first red flag that I see in my mind. Another big thing that we look at is when a homepage specifically, but this is obviously something that carries out throughout a website, is all about the practice. And that seems odd, because if your website is for your practice, surely it should be about your practice. But it kind of goes against the grain of what you want your website to do, which is attract new patients. And if you have a website that's all about you and all about your achievements and all about the services that you offer, it isn't conveying the message in the best way. People are very selfish, for frankly, we're focused on ourselves
as we should, as we should be when we're spending money, as we should be.
Exactly, as we should be. Yeah. And we want to know how things will benefit us. And a lot of practices aren't using their websites and their content to do that. And that is something that we are changing in the way that we write content on behalf of our clients. And it's something that usually needs to be changed when we're taking on new clients. I think another thing is, and this is something that sort of happens in the background, even with clients that we do work with and make big changes for, I think it's something that can go unnoticed. But because we are Storyo, it's not just that we're trying to create content that is more authentic and content that speaks more to the user, but we are actually creating a story. We're building the brand. We're creating something that feels engaging. And stories have flows. They start in one place, they have a good chunk in the middle, and they tie everything in a neat bow at the end. And we want the pages that we work on to do that same thing. So when we're working on a homepage or any other page, we have an idea of what that page should look like and what the best outline is to take a potential patient through. When they're landing on a page, you want to engage them with that hook line and sinker. Hopefully we grab their attention fast enough. But if they don't, we need to think about what is the next best thing to show them, what pulls them through the page, what gets them reading more, and what will they think about next that we can preemptively provide them information for or answer a question for. So that's also something that we have a look at.
Which we know at this point, we have a pretty good idea about what these patients are thinking about. We've done a lot of research on through calls we listen to, through data surveys, through what we hear from our dentists about what people are asking. So that's so spot on. Think about what you're putting on these pages and the story, as you said, that you're telling. If it's introducing the team and feeling safe with the doctor, or the reputation of the doctor, or how am I going to pay for this, or what are other people saying? If these things are not being represented in the story that you're telling, you're going to struggle. And I want to, for the dentist that or listeners in general, I know I keep saying dentist, but if you're listening to this and you heard what Shimran said now about don't make it about yourself, it needs to be about the patient or about the user, and you're thinking, but okay, but how do I tell them what I do and what it is if I don't talk about my practice or talk about my experience? And as you said that, Shimran, I thought about an example of if you, let's say it's a traveling company and you want to book a trip to Italy. Okay. We're going to Tuscany. Join me to Tuscany. And all that this travel brochure says is you will fly with this metal plane that has these jet engines, and you're going to meet this captain who has been doing this for so many years, and then you will take this taxi, and that taxi will take a year, and it's a great taxi. The taxi is very fuel efficient, so you don't have to worry. First of all, I'm not paying for the fuel. I'm paying for the meter. So it does, like, this is very, and this goes on versus, what would you feel like if I told you that I can get you the fastest trip to Tuscany where you will experience the countryside and you won't have to worry about getting from the airport to your Airbnb because there'll be someone waiting for you where it's going to be affordable? And immediately you hear the difference in, I'm painting the picture. I'm telling you why that taxi matters. I'm telling you why that plane matters. So we're still telling the patient on the homepage back to dental now. We're still telling the patient about the practice, about the experience, but you need to think about what does it actually mean for them? And then, as you said now, Shim, how does it fit into the story that we're trying to tell to actually address the needs of these patients? And it's shocking how many dental practices we see that just miss this mark.
It is shocking, but at the same time, shocking, but not surprising almost, because it seems obvious that the experience is something that you need to focus on. But when we're looking at dentistry and the things that we, or the things that dentists would typically want to showcase, it's difficult to do that. You do need an expert by your side to make dental technology sound exciting for a patient. It is just one of those things.
Is there differences across types of dentistry if I'm a periodontist or a cosmetic dentist or a pediatric dentist or orthodontist? Like, does the core of it remain the same to you and the story just needs to be adjusted? Or how have you approached it when you deal with these different types of dentistry?
I would say or argue that outside of just different types of dentistry, it honestly differs from practice to practice. We may have a framework that we're following for each and every practice, but practices are unique. You will find a different dentist from one practice to the next. And at the end of the day, you could go anywhere to get the dental service that you need. You're really choosing the practice and you're choosing to stay there. And while we don't want to focus on the team in a way that puts them at the forefront and not the patient, they are really who we're selling. And their expertise, their experience, and frankly, their personality is what we're trying to let shine through. And that's the kind of thing that I think speaks more authentically to patients, because it's intrinsically human.
So it's, don't think of types of dentistry. Think of who are you as a practice, or who is this practice, and how are we going to tell their story and the services that they want to push, not cookie cutter.
It isn't exactly cookie cutter, because if it was, anybody could do that, and that's something that anybody could offer any dental practice. We're trying to find what makes a practice unique and make that be what helps them shine. However, if we're looking purely at the services they offer, I think there is sort of a recipe for success that we can look at when we're trying to market certain services, especially on a website. So while we're trying to highlight what is uniquely that practice on the core pages, like I mentioned, that typically encapsulates the homepage, the about page, which is truly all about the team and the dentists and what their first visit experience is like. We do have a list of service pages that we rely on to build our online visibility. And on those pages, there are certain things that we can always accept as true. If you are looking for a dentist to help alleviate a dental emergency, the kind of content that you would put on that page would look vastly different from if you're looking for a dentist to help take out your wisdom teeth. While emergency dentistry would require a sense of urgency, wisdom teeth removal doesn't necessarily. Maybe some element of urgency, but not quite the same. And the way that we structure our content and the sort of the elements that we include in the actual information is vastly different from the one to the next based on that.
So I guess my next question for you is, I'm a dentist and I say, okay, I'm buying into the idea of StoryEO. I get it. We can't just have a bunch of keywords on a page. It's about the story. It's about making it about the patient. We want them to feel that we truly understand them. We're showing social proof. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be taking away all of these keywords or at least lessening it, is that not going to hurt my rankings? Have we seen that there's any significant drop in these changes we've been making? What can you tell us in terms of risk management and results that we've seen when we've changed our ways? Because a lot of the industry would probably tell you, no, it's going to hurt your rankings. So that would be interesting for me to know.
Yeah, I get that. We can't just say, trust us, and then expect everyone to give us a big thumbs up and a smile. So I understand that uncertainty. And we've received some of that pushback even within our own agency from clients. It is a concern that we see, and with good reason. We come from years of doing SEO in a traditional way where we are also told to follow the steps that give us good rankings. But if I haven't mentioned it already, rankings do not necessarily equal new patients. And if we are working with a practice, our primary goal is to get them new patients. Our goal is to not necessarily give them rankings. Now, if one equals the other, then we're just, I suppose, winning. But one does not always equal the other. So what we've seen so far, if I can share a little bit about that, because we've been on this journey now for close to a year of changing the way that we look at SEO and changing the way that we work on content. And anybody who is familiar with SEO will know that change takes time. It always takes a couple of months for things to really hit Google and for us to see the effects of that. But we've actually not seen any crazy dives for our clients. There have perhaps been some fluctuations in rankings, but nothing that has been a major cause for concern. If we look at the pure data on Google Search Console, for example, visibility is stable. In many cases, it's up. So we're actually reaching more eyes than we expected. And we are still very much in the process of making the changes that we are making on behalf of our clients. So far, it's looking good.
Another thing that I thought about was insurance offices, HMO, PPO, fee-for-service offices, your offices that want even higher end treatment. I'm talking about a $40,000, $50,000 full arch case. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that as you move up on the cost of treatment and the type of practice you are, what you're telling us here becomes more and more and more important. Because if I think of like a watch, the entry-level watch is, it tells you the time and it will go this far into the water and that's great, and it will cost you maybe $200. A Rolex that's associated with the Masters is said that, like, this is the type of watch that Tiger Woods would wear because he's a champion. And this brand is associated with it. So people are willing to spend that money because they're associated. Do you see that in dentistry too, where this, what you're saying with StoryEO, becomes more and more important as you go up on that pay scale?
Yes, for sure. That's definitely something that we see. And I think that is where the essence of creating a story on behalf of our clients is so important. We've spent a lot of time as a team considering how we can create content and truly make content unique in a way that speaks to what these practices are hoping to achieve. For practices that do offer services that are more on the high end cost scale, we need to create an atmosphere, almost an environment, through their brand and through their content that speaks to that. If you're comparing a cheap watch that you have bought off the road compared to Rolex, you really want content that is sleek and professional and gives you confidence in the services that they're offering versus something that is dental specialist in location and the content looks generic and they're not telling you anything about the practice or why that practice and that specific specialist is the best for your needs. So it is something that we've needed to take into account and decide how we can structure content and actually write content and create the feeling that we're hoping to.
So to end off, I want to ask you, if I'm a dentist or a practice manager, hygienist, someone, I'm listening to this now, and I just want to take the initial first steps of trying to judge if we need this, if we're doing it right. What are some initial steps that I can take on my current website to identify these things and to start making changes?
I think the quick sort of surefire way to identify if your website has fallen victim to a lack of story, is how I could phrase it, it's similar to the things that us as a team would look out for. If you've opened up the homepage of your website and it's littered with content that feels odd because of location-based keywords or sentences that just don't quite have the right structure, that is one way to tell if you need a bit of a story or approach. Another is that if your homepage is sparse, if it isn't telling a potential patient why you are different from your competitors and why they should reach out to you versus a competitor, that's something that you really need to look out for. And if it is telling your patients that, where is it telling that? Is it sharing that information the moment you land on the page, or do you have to scroll for 2 minutes before you can actually find out that bit of information?
Two things that come to mind as you say that is, number one, there's limited real estate. So as you were saying, now how far are you scrolling if you're trying to communicate something? So if you're looking at your website and your patient testimonials or your in-house membership plan or the reviews saying how amazing you are, is sitting 2 minutes into me trying to get to the bottom of your page, and I'm exaggerating now, but understand what I'm saying, then that is not something that's going to help your practice get new patients. And the second thing I want to mention is, what Shimran mentioned there now is making yourself stand out, being unique, how you stand out from someone else, treating you like family, and we have a new cone beam, and latest this, and online scheduling is nice, but it's a lot of people are starting to do it. Like, you will rooted in tradition and all that. Like, these are all terms that as consumers, our minds have become so trained to just kind of gloss over these things because it's such an old way of looking at things. We treat you like family, modern dentistry. No. Look at your homepage, read it, and then understand, why am I modern dentist? What is it? Is it that the turnaround times are a lot quicker? Is it that I'm open on weekends too? Is it that with my new scanner, you can sit at home and send me a picture instead of having to come in, and I can just ship you your next set of trays? Like, that is what matters to people. So go and look for those things and then truly try and differentiate yourself in valuable ways, not just by saying you will feel at home. That is not differentiating.
No, that's you've summed it up perfectly, and I think that is what we could classify as a bit of a dental cliche for content.
So on that note, Shimran, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming to share with us. Stay tuned. We have the third episode of the series coming on where we will talk to our paid media specialist, and he will be sharing how what Shimran has shared with us today also plays a role in your paid advertising and the ads you put out there, because that is still you representing your brand to the world. You can't have it right on your website, and then your ads and your social media and these things still have that bad generic type of wording. It all works together as an ecosystem. So we look forward for that one. Shimran, thank you so much. It was great having you.
Thank you, Ian.